People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan, and I have Jared Kinney, the cornerman. He is back for his third time on the show. I'm in the stock room at Munson & Brothers. We have live music going on tonight. We have patrons enjoying the bar, so I'm back here in the back with you in Columbus, Mississippi. Jared, how has the week been? And we got quite a bit to catch up on, do we?
Yeah, we do. Week went by wicked fast. Woke up, realized it was, like, Thursday, and was like, oh, my God. And yeah. Now here we are Friday, and, you know, yeah, a lot of stuff to catch up on.
So, like, just out the gate, is that bad weather that's supposed to be coming up? Is that going to be touching y'all? Do you know?
Yeah, it touched us this morning. Like, on my drive to work, it was, like, downpouring. It's supposed to last till tomorrow. I was just actually on the news. It's heading, like, east. Like, yeah, I think tomorrow it's supposed to snow back home in Boston. So it's like, I don't know. Can't get over this weather. It's supposed to hail and stuff. We got tornado warnings and stuff like that. So,
yeah, I saw it was just following, like, with the Oma Dogs, with the Mississippi State Bulldogs. They, I think they flew down to Tampa today, and they had to start their game at 1 o'clock. It got pushed early, and then their game tomorrow got pushed back. So,
okay.
Trying to cover with that. And while we're at it, have you seen that ridiculous headline, like, East Coast, expect giant spiders to be falling from the sky?
Oh, the parachute spiders, dude.
Yeah,
I guess there's, someone was saying that there's funny videos on YouTube of, like, I'm sorry if this word offends anybody, but, like, a bunch of rednecks shooting them with guns because they're so big. I haven't seen the video, but I need to pull it up, because if you could shoot them with a gun, like, those are fucking big. I'm good.
I've seen pictures of them, and so, like, in my mind, I lived down there in the Mobile area for 6 years, and I'm well aware of, like, a banana spider, you know, mm-hmm. like, big as your hand counting the legs, and then, like, the body's probably the size of your thumb, but these are substantially bigger. Yep. I was like, where are you finding these things? And I was like, that belongs in Australia.
Yeah, we, quick little story about spiders. I was in school in San Angelo, Texas. That's in West Texas for people who don't know their Texas geography. We were there for 4 months, and they have some crazy wildlife, but we stayed, it was really like a barracks room, but they called it a hotel. Anyway, my buddy was on the first floor. Like, and you're exposed to the elements, like, you open up your door and there's the outside, and he's on the first floor, and he sends me a picture one day, and it's a fucking wolf spider. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those, dude.
Yes.
It is. They're fucking big. And it's like, you know, a hotel room has, like, a bed, and then you got usually a little chair in the corner that's, like, kitty cornered. Mm-hmm. So he threw his uniform and stuff on the chair, but one of it fell behind the chair, you know, in between the wall and the whatever. And he goes back there, and he's like, holy shit. Sends mm-hmm. me a picture. I'm like, no way. So we go, we call the maintenance guy. This guy is Texas fucking born and raised. And he goes, oh, now that's just a pup. And we were like, what? And it's literally the size of, like, my hand like this. He goes, oh, that's just a pup. Dude, what are you talking about? No thanks. And my buddy's from Maryland. He goes, yeah, that's just a pup right there. And we're like, no. Oh, sir. Nope. And he just, you know, the movie theater popcorn scooper, like the trash thing. He just flicks it into that and just goes in the parking lot and throws it. And we were like, oh my God. He's like, yeah, that was just a little baby. We're like, no, we're good.
Yeah.
I don't mess with anything like that.
And so, I mean, I think they're all over the states. If I'm not mistaken, though, they just make them bigger in Texas because everything is naturally bigger there.
Yeah.
But to my understanding, I don't think that wolf spiders are poisonous. I just think that their bite hurts.
Yeah.
Good. And while we're at it, just going on in the world, so this 1,000-year-old, maybe two, was it, with the chaotic demon, the stone in Japan, and just... So yeah. we got a lot going our way this year.
Yeah, as if 2022 couldn't get worse.
Right.
Yeah. And we thought 2020 was the worst. Now this shit, oh my God.
Yeah, hold my beer.
Yeah.
2020 part two.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Let's get into it. Something cool happened in Pensacola for you recently. Man, what led you down to Pensacola?
Oh, Bert Kreischer had a show, the Birdie Boy Relapse Tour. I actually have a shirt right here supporting him, you know. And we went.
Yeah.
Comedy show. And it was fucking obviously hysterical because he's one of the, you know, he's one of my favorite comedians. But, you know, he had two openers. They were really good, warm us up. Then he came on, just ripped his shirt off right in the beginning, tore the place down. And then after the show, we waited for him. Excuse me. We waited for him out by his tour bus. And, you know, you could tell the people that work with him because they have the little badge or whatever. Mm-hmm. Lady comes walking out, and I was like, and no one says a thing to her. And I was like, excuse me, ma'am. I was like, what are the odds? Give me an odds, 1 to 10, like getting a picture with him. And she like wouldn't say anything. I was like, oh, you're playing hard to get. I know. And she was like, she didn't say anything, but she was like, just wait. She like kind of, you know, signaled. I'm like, all right. So we waited another 15, 20 minutes. And he came out. We took pictures with him. He went on his tour bus. And I was like, fuck this. I know. He's the kind of guy that goes out drinking. Yeah. We're going to fucking wait here and see if we can't fucking, you know, follow him and, you know, try to talk to him. Because he's like a, you know, personable guy. He's not going to say no, shoo away, whatever. So he then came out of his tour bus and started walking with his assistant. I was like, hey, Bert, I got a question real quick. He's like, yeah, come walk with me. That's the second picture I posted of me walking with him. It was good, like 10 minute walk, to the cigar bar.
And you found the audacity to take your shirt off, right?
Oh yeah. In the picture. And it's funny. He knew exactly what I was going to do. So as soon, like everyone's taking their picture and whatever, I'm letting them do their thing. And then, you know, he's waiting for someone and I get three words out of my mouth. I was like, dude, I don't want to make this weird. And he was like, just take it off, man. Just take it off. Because so he must get that all the time. So yeah, yeah. I had to take my shirt off, take a picture with him.
Yeah. Just back to him for a second. When I found out about him, you know, it was the shirt off and he's talking about what the story in Russia was really.
Yeah. The machine.
Yeah. Yep. And so like every time I just see the guy, it's immediately where my mind goes. And right. I think the tweet you posted was like when reality becomes a meme or.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, this is perfect.
Yeah,
brings a tear to a glass eye.
Yeah. So that picture, I forget what the meme was. Oh yeah. Life often imitates memes. So instead
that's
of
it.
Art, life often imitates memes. I'll show it, but that's me and him basically at the cigar bar. Before we left, we kind of, you know, I just wanted to go over and thank him again for, you know, giving me a little talk, like, you know, advice and suggested a thing for his podcast. I'm not going to say what it was because if it does happen, then I think it'll be cool. Cool. But one of my buddies took that picture and that meme immediately came to my head. And I was like, I'm going to meme myself. I don't give a fuck. So, you know, I posted the two pictures together.
Oh, it was beautiful. and the quality came out good, so the audience will be able to see it. So that worked out great. And so we got a show coming up soon. We're going to go see Steve-O in Mobile at the Singer.
Yep.
And I'm hoping maybe for that same kind of thing. Maybe we can get a little meet and greet going. I mean, that's somebody that, you know, icon growing up, right? Watching Wild Boys, watching Jackass, watching. I mean, he really wasn't on Viva La Bam, but you know, all those shows are really connected.
Yeah.
And you know, just with Jackass Forever, we've talked about it, and just seeing these guys as they get older, and it was like, I can't believe you're still alive. Yeah. And sober.
Yes. Yeah, that show will be good. I know when he performed in, I think it was in Boston, you know, people I follow back home or friends or whatever posted on Facebook and Instagram, posted pictures with him after his show, and I was like, that's fucking awesome. So I'm sure he's same thing, personable, and, you know, come out and take pictures for the people that waited. So I'm glad. I'm going to try to get him to sign my butt.
Right on.
I wanted to get him to autograph my butt.
Go get a tattoo.
Dude, yeah.
Your name.
Yeah, your name, Steve-O.
Yeah, it's, you know, when I was living down in Mobile, I had a couple of friends. They were getting into comedy. And, you know, they met a lot of big-name comedians. And just to go back to Bert, like, being very personable, or even Steve-O, is like, when you think about Hollywood or maybe even some musicians, it just seems like comedians always seem to come out as just way more personable and right. are really just down to earth and really just wanting to talk to the fans, right?
Yeah. And I think that makes them like relatable too, like to people, like because if they get too big and stuff like that, then I don't know, I guess they lose touch with comedy maybe, unless like you're kind of secluded and your content really just plays off of the people you surround yourself with. And some of them are family or some right. friends, but you know, I think that artistry, like by them surrounding themselves with people, like just gets the creative, you know, the creative flows going. It can help them on many levels, I guess. But yeah, very personable. I think, like, what's another one? Dave Chappelle, even. He's like megastar. But he's,
right.
he's the same type of, like, he doesn't have any social medias, but, like, he will go out to bars and stuff and see people and talk to people. Like, he's just, you know, personable, so.
Well, I mean, my mind goes to, like, the latter days of Norm MacDonald. I mean, he was still that way and, like, had cancer, didn't tell anybody. Mm-hmm. And, like, he never lost his touch. And, like, I believe that personable-ness, if you will, the-ness, is he never lost touch of just everyday human beings.
Right.
Like, when you think about, like, let's just go SNL just for a minute, and I don't want to just crap on him, but it hasn't really been funny to me in a long time.
Yeah, I think maybe mid thousands,
right? And I believe it's just that they lost touch. I think they're all hanging out together. Maybe it's just in New York, and it's like maybe it just doesn't translate to me because I'm not from there. But it's just it really doesn't do anything for me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's like I don't get it. I'm not the butt of the joke. I just don't get it.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you the last time I watched. Well. Actually, yeah, it was when Dave Chappelle was on it, when he, I think it was the election special. It was either that one or it was, remember he did the Walking Dead skit?
Yeah.
It was that, I don't know if that was the same episode or not, but like.
I think it was.
He's the type of name that like will get me to watch it because it's like fucking Dave Chappelle on SNL, okay.
I mean, I even watched like the Elon Musk episode that was one of the more recent ones. And I was looking forward to that and like those sketches were whack. He was like Wario and all that. And it was like, this is silly.
Yeah.
And because I was really watching it just for like the crypto market, because, you know, it's like, oh, Doge is about to skyrocket. Mm-hmm. And it was like.
Yeah, nothing happened.
But yeah, just to move on is also this following weekend, we had a big UFC card.
Oh, yeah. This last weekend, UFC 272. So we have them. I'll pull it up right here. Move you to the right. Where's it at? Here it is. So we had Jorge Masvidal versus Colby Covington. That was the main event. It was a non-title fight. I'm pretty sure it went, for a lot of the fans, it went the exact way everyone thought it was going to go. Some people truthfully thought Jorge Masvidal was going to win, and it's just like, dude, Vegas is saying, you know, Masvidal's plus 450. Covington's like minus 300, I give or take. So Covington was a massive favorite. So that was a main event, just dominated him five rounds. I personally scored at 50-44. So one of the rounds, I had Colby Covington winning 10-8. I think it was the third. Good fight, but yeah, it just kind of ended. It went exactly how everybody thought it was going to go. Yeah, Colby Covington was minus 320. Jorge Masvidal was plus 250. And those two just fucking hated each other. So it was good to watch, but it wasn't very much stand up. It like, you know, trading back and forth. It was just Colby taking him down and just punishing him. So,
well, I mean, he looked really good, like cardio wise, and that was the big thing that he said, you know, like by accident, in like a interview, right? He was like, "I got a double lung," when he meant triple.
Yeah. Yeah, he said I had a second lung.
Yeah, I was like, most of us do, bub.
Yeah.
But nice. Yeah,
he's not too bright.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, it just goes back to that. I want to go back to the way that you judge these rounds. Just for those who may be unaware of how a round is judged, how do you go about judging it from, you know, 8 to 10 or like whatever that looks like? How do you judge that?
Yeah, so obviously, like, each round is scored winner loser, so 10-9 is usually how it goes. Like, the winner obviously gets 10 points, loser gets 9. And they just adopted the 10-8 round scoring system, which is like, you know, if I knock you down 3 times in one round and it's just absolutely demolishing you, but we go to the next round, that could be considered a 10-8. Or like, you know, if I wrestle you, take you down, just keep you down for 4 minutes, you know, just causing damage, that'll be considered a 10-8. But like, you know, damage is number one. So like, damage done, control time. So like, if I'm controlling the fight, if I'm putting the pressure on, takedowns is another big one. And then knockdowns and stuff like that, come into effect. A lot of people judge stuff a little bit differently, but that's why I like going on Twitter actively during fights. 'Cause like, I'll see so many people saying like, "Oh, that was a 10-9, this guy." Then someone will be like, it's very close, but 10-9 this guy. And it's like, okay, I kind of see. And it's so hard. Like, those judges are under so much fucking pressure to, you know, score a round correctly. And they're ridiculed so bad if they get it wrong. And sometimes they do get it very, very, very wrong. And everybody is saying it went this way, and they're saying it went another way. So, but they have a lot of pressure.
It's really hard for me, like, on a fight like this, especially as I'm a fan of both of the guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's really hard for me to like judge a round, period. But, you know, just going back on the fight and watching it again, it was clearly Kobe all the way. But when you, I mean, what did you take of like the catch weight, the Cobain fight with Dos Anjos and Marciano?
Yeah. So that Renato Moicano came in 5 days notice because I think, was it Benil Dariush got hurt. So he ended up not fighting. So they ended up finding Moicano. Islam Makhachev put his name in there, which would have been a fucking awesome fight because Islam Makhachev is 10-0 in his last 10 fights, but he really hasn't. The names that he has, you know, the names that he's fought and beaten in the last 10 fights really are like, it's not too impressive. I mean, but then again, 10-0 is very impressive, but you know, he's fighting these kind of guys that are like no names. Anyway, a lot of people wanted to see that fucking happen because that would have been, you know, if he won that fight, he could have, you know, jumped to the next level, so to speak, in the rankings. But then again, it's a big risk because if he loses, then he loses all that hype and momentum and this and that. But yeah, Moicano fought Rafael Dos Anjos, and Rafael Dos Anjos just dominated 5 rounds straight. It could have been a what was it, 50-43 or 50-44. He fucking dominated Moicano. And I think in the fourth round, he was just straight ground and pound, had him dazed wicked bad. And the ref almost stopped the fight. I think it was Greg Goddard. I'm sorry, Mark Goddard. And I even live tweeted. I was like, that was unbelievable professionalism by Mark Goddard, because he very well could have or should have stopped the fight. But Moicano was still defending himself. Mm-hmm. The round ended. And at the end of the round, he went up to the doctor and he was like, "I want you to look at him because he's not okay. And when he stands up, you know, just tell me if I need to, if you think I should stop it, because I'm close to stopping it." And the ref looked at him and his eye was swollen shut. And he said he could see and, you know, did the eye test looking at his finger. And the ref was like, the doctor was like, "Nope, he's good." So Goddard was like, "All right." And then Goddard went up to him and he said, "You have 30 seconds in this round to show me you have something or else I'm stopping the fight." And I mean, he didn't show too much, but he was still throwing punches actively and pressing. But Rafael Dos Anjos, it was just the showmanship he showed by showing the respect, like, oh, hey, you made it to this fifth round, so we're going to go out and, you know, let you finish this fight, basically, because he didn't really throw much. It was kind of like a sparring, you know, so the fifth round was kind of boring, and Moicano caught him a couple times, and Dos Anjos wasn't too happy, but it was a great show of respect by Dos Anjos, and very professional.
And it goes, just to step back just to Kobe and the Masvidal fight, just for a second, it's like, you think Masvidal, I mean, the guy has got, let's see, 51 fights under his belt, just on this record, professional record. Mm-hmm. And then Dos Anjos has got 44. And then you're looking at the professional fights of Marciano is 22. Mm-hmm. So I was like, just as far as experience goes. Now, I don't know how many times you fought not professionally, though, right? And yeah. So that might not say a whole lot. But then again, like, Dos Anjos is a veteran.
Yes. Yeah, he's true and true vet. Like, he was supposed to fight Connor for the belt. And then he fell out. He got hurt. I think he hurt his ankle. And then that's when Nate Diaz stepped in, and they had their first fight between Connor and Nate.
My boy.
But yeah, he's Rafael Dos Anjos ain't no slouch, and he's caught such bad breaks, like, in his last six fights. Like, I think four people have either dropped out and they canceled the fight, or they brought someone in last minute. So it's like, you know, he can't catch a break. I feel bad, but he's a very, very, very good fighter.
Yeah, and just to go over to McGregor just for a second, I don't think there's any need in him coming back. Like, I mean, yeah, come back. I don't think you need to come back because you need the dollar, but you don't have anything to prove. You're kind of like the old dog now. It's almost like if Tito Ortiz or like Liddell would want to come back. It's like, dude, all these guys are better than you now. Like, they're talking about like Nate Diaz 3, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna go to Vegas, and I'm a vet. I'm gonna bet a lot of money on Nate. I don't think McGregor has another W in him.
I do. It just depends. Like, he expects himself, because of the name, to come back and like fight for a belt or fight a top three contender. And it's like, dude, the fight game is so advanced. Like, ring rust is real. First of all, you're coming off an injury. Like, take a lesser fight. You know, someone not maybe or they are pretty well known, but they're not as good as like a top three contender. And, you know, get these rounds under your belt, because he did that. Remember when he fought Cowboy a few years ago?
Yeah.
So he fought Cowboy, and then he wanted to fight again in like May of the next year. But then COVID happened. So then that just fucked everything up. And I think like a run like that, like, you know, come back and fight a Nate Diaz. Before you get into these people like, you know, another Justin Gaethje or Charles Oliveira, something like that. Like, you don't want to go straight into the belly of the beast. Like, I think he needs to fight someone, you know, that's a tired vet or a young up and comer, kind of like that, just to get some rounds under his belt.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't go against like just, you know, when I think about just all the veteran Mexicans in the UFC, like think like Ferguson or the Diaz brothers, it's like that probably is not a good launching pad.
No, you're right. I think, I mean, the money's definitely going to be there.
Oh, yeah. And people are going to watch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody will watch. And a lot of people are saying Jorge Masvidal versus Conor should happen.
I don't even like that, though.
At 170, and a lot of a lot of people are saying that at 170, because originally Connor said I wanted to go to 170, and Dana White was like, no, people like Jorge Masvidal is too big for you, and he was like, no, dude, I don't think so. And then I think he fought Cowboy at 170 and ended up winning, but then again, it's Cowboy, so you can't really go off that. No disrespect to Cowboy whatsoever, but, you know, he's not no Conor McGregor or Jorge Masvidal.
What's gonna happen with John Jones, man? He recently got busted again.
Well, it wasn't, I think the video came out. It wasn't that he got busted again. The video became public of his arrest back last year, like last October, I think. And so that made rounds.
Social media did what social media does.
Yep. Yeah. I would like to see him fight. I'm obviously just being the biggest John Jones fan in the world, I think.
Who can beat him?
Nobody. Especially going off like Francis Ngannou's last fight with Ciryl Gane. Took him down, wrestled him, like, in, would nobody's ever seen that before from Francis, ever. And he had a torn MCL. Like, first, like, Ciryl Gane is no match for Jon Jones if that happened. Jon Jones is, hands down one of the best wrestlers in the UFC, especially being that big. So I don't think anybody can beat him. And just to mention, Francis Ngannou, news came out today that he's actually having surgery to repair his torn MCL next week. So that's like a minimum 9 months he's going to be out. So I'm sure they're going to another interim champion, do all this stuff. So that'll leave some, questioning in the heavyweight division. Personally, I don't think anybody's beating Jon Jones.
I wonder if his MCL was torn when he went on Jackass.
Oh, that's a good question.
Because I have no idea when they shot that. I know it was shot during COVID, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I just know during the fight he had
What was the equivalent of him punching you? It was like getting hit by a full-size...
Ford Focus?
Yeah.
Yeah. His punching power is like 100 and whatever horsepower. Jeez. I can look it up real quick, but it's stupid.
What a monster. I don't know if you want to cover anything else on the card. I want to bring up old Thug Nasty, Mr. Bryce Mitchell, all the way from Arkansas.
Oh yeah.
He got himself a W.
Yep.
And then thank God for what Fighting Sports and Dana White at the UFC lets his fighters do is speak their mind. And he was fairly outspoken in a later interview. I don't have to get off into the weeds in what he said, but I think it's great for people in the public eye to be able to make these kind of stands and to be able to say those kind of things. I believe it's important. Right.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of I know it's like with the NFL and stuff like that, like a lot of these big leagues will kind of, reprimand will happen. Like, mm-hmm. If you can't, like, what would happen if Tom Brady anymore, but if Aaron Rodgers was to go off and say something crazy or people didn't agree with it or whatever, he's going to get fined. And like, it's just like, you're going to get fined for something that's a freedom of speech. Well, like really
the whole not wanting to get the vaccine was kind of a big deal for him all season.
Yeah.
He goes,
he should have went to jail.
Yeah. And then he goes on to win the MVP.
Right.
There was a New York Times article, just to flip it over to NBA, Kyrie Irving, he played for the Brooklyn Nets. And so like the rule was that if you're going to play in New York, you have to be vaccinated. But there was this, I'm blanking on his name. He plays for Orlando. He has a podcast too, I think, with Daily Wire, but he wasn't vaccinated. But if he went to New York to play, he could play. And then the New York Times article wrote up. It was like, okay, guys, I know how good it makes all of us feel to kind of not let him get his way, but I think it's kind of time for him to be allowed to start playing again. And it's like, yeah, no crap, you goof. Your team sucks.
Yeah, they just they actually beat the Sixers the other night pretty handedly. James Harden had a bad game. I watched that. That was on last night. But yeah, I think all the COVID protocols are going to be lifted pretty soon. So he should be able to play, like come playoff time at least. But yeah, I think everybody, I mean, those big leagues, they'll fine you for fucking saying anything. It's so crazy. But yeah, it was good to see, like, I mean, he personally, I thought it was a very, very, very hot take that Bryce Mitchell had. If people want to know what he said, you can probably just YouTube Bryce Mitchell on the MMA Hour with Ariel Helwani. Yeah. You can watch that. I'm not going to go too much into what he said, but it created a whole stir wind on Twitter. But yeah.
Save on O'Reilly Brake Parts Cleaner. Get two cans of O'Reilly Brake Parts Cleaner for just $8. Valid in-store only at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
He had a very dominant win over, an 11-year UFC vet in Edson Barboza. Mm-hmm. Just wrestled him, just kind of did like what Khabib did, just wrestled him and just beat the shit out of him for three rounds. Mm-hmm. Won by unanimous decision. That was good to watch. And then the first fight of the night, which I'm sure a lot of people were fans of, Greg Hardy lost to Sergei Spivak. He got knocked out. I mean, who doesn't like seeing Greg Hardy get knocked out? That piece of shit. That was his last fight in the UFC. So a lot of people are speculating, like, you know, he
can't go out on an L.
Yeah, like, does Dana White keep him and put him in these spots so he could be like America's laughingstock? You know, so like, because that's going to bring in viewers. Everybody's going to watch this guy get his ass kicked. I mean, yeah, he might win a few times, but are they going to want to pay him just for that? I mean, who knows? And then, you know, you have Bellator, PFL, and all these other leagues that, you know, might throw a bag at him just to get him on their promotion.
No, how long have you been into just watching UFC?
Probably, how old am I? 26. Give or take 18 years, maybe. I don't know. Since I was young, like before 10 years old, I remember watching it with my dad.
Yeah, I got into it back during like the Tito Ortiz and like Chuck Liddell days with GSP and all those cats. And like when I bring it up to today, it seems like the game has really changed a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think it was me and my coworker, we were talking about this. He was like, could you imagine if Bruce Lee was alive today? And I was like, I mean, well, okay. Let's say put Bruce Lee in his prime. I was like, I would take anyone in the UFC versus Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I think Bruce Lee was a bit of a bigger deal than what he actually was.
Yeah. I agree with you on that. Like a lot of people are like, oh, you know,
one Chuck Liddell in his man.
Yeah. Or like Chuck Liddell in his prime versus, you know, whoever. And it's like, dude, that guy would get fucking starched because these people now are just, they're craftsmen. Like they're perfectionists when it comes to their craft. Like they have so many different aspects of their game, and I don't think they have any shot for someone like that. Same thing like Bruce Lee. Like, yeah, he was kind of like the godfather of MMA, but that's kind of like being like an idealist and just mixing these different forms of martial arts. You know what I mean? So he might not have been the best, but he was probably the one to, you know, mix all these different forms of martial art. Yeah, I don't think if he was to fight someone, I don't think he had a shot.
Yeah, it'd be like Once Upon in Hollywood. And I'm not I'm not even going like Quentin Tarantino. It's like, you know, take Ip Man, the guy who supposedly like trained Bruce Lee. And it's like, okay, yeah, all those guys were bad in their own right. But I was like, do you not think there were actual people who weren't on movies that were way better than them? They were just like really good on film.
Right.
I'm not trying to take anything away from Bruce Lee or anything. It's just like, okay, just Chuck Norris. The shout out, I think he just turned like 82 today.
No shit.
So,
yeah, I think if it came down to something like that, yeah, just it's different. Because it's the same thing like with football, like or basketball, like, oh, Michael Jordan couldn't play in today's game, this and that, da da da, or like these players now couldn't play back in the day. And it's like, dude, no, I think they could. Like, because if anything, people nowadays are bigger, faster, and stronger. That's it. That's what it comes down to.
So. That's kind of, yeah, that's my point. But like, just to the Michael Jordan, it's like there was a lot of tenacity there, and he was a very physical player. And I think like NBA was a very physical sport back with Michael Jordan's era. It is not as physical as it is today. I think they're bringing back the physicality with like the refs are like letting them play a whole lot more.
Yep.
But I still don't think it's back to like the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, no, it won't. I don't think it'll ever get back to that. But I think it's kind of like that kind of comparison with just, you know, different sports or even like, oh, would what's his name? I don't know, Walter Payton be able to play today? Like, yeah, he was faster back then. Would he be as fast as he is now? Like, who's to tell?
Oh, number 99 for Georgia. Remember that defensive lineman? He was huge.
Oh, yeah, he's 6 foot eight.
Did you see his 4:40?
Yeah, he ran like a 4.58 40-yard dash, which is insane. He's like 6 foot six, almost 400 pounds. He's a unit.
And I think that just that wraps up exactly what you said. Bigger, faster, stronger. Just all the way around.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's like, I think it's sports science, man. I think it's all those things. Cause I mean, if you think college football, they're on the sidelines. It's like, you see those things being handed, like NFL, someone handing somebody under the towel and they take it and just like ready to rock and roll now. What if that is? I don't know. But I do. And I was like, there's probably a reason for that.
Yeah.
It's the game is different. Science, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I think like it's just going to – I think they talked about it today on Pardon My Take. They were like, oh, 30 years from now, are people going to be saying the same stuff about athletes today? Like people say like, oh, Michael Jordan was playing against electricians and plumbers and carpenters. Like, you know, 30 years from now, are people going to be saying the same thing? Like, oh, Kevin Durant played against, you know, podcasters, YouTubers, and whoever, because I'm sure there people are going to, you know, go on and do their own thing.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
Yeah. We can put that thing to bed. And I think about like what you just said with like podcasters, or even like think Marcus Spears, who played for LSU, and now he's an analyst on ESPN. It's exactly that. It's like he used to play this guy who now talks for a living. Well, yeah. If you go back on his highlights though.
Yeah.
He was, in fact, a bad man.
Mm-hmm.
So baseball is back. We were afraid that we might lose the MLB. The New York Yankee, the GM, was very afraid of what was going on, but we're back.
Thank God. Just to put that whole – just seeing them go back and forth so often on just petty shit, dude. It was like –
And then it came down to like just the players wanting to be paid more. Is that right? Is that
yeah, that's part of it. But like some of it's like what was it? Like one of the CBA was like just last year they implemented in extra innings they would have a base runner start on second base to kind of hurry up the game or whatever. Like I get it. Like I get the point, just to kind of get it over with, but. In a competitive fashion, I don't. That was one of them. A pitch clock was another one. Bases like 13% larger was another. It was just stupid shit. It's dumb stuff. But yeah, I think the salary cap is going to go up, and the owners were complaining. Like it was really funny. I thought it was hysterical. Just the owners are their complaint is like, oh, well, we don't have enough money to pay you guys, So that's one of their arguments. It always is. And just yesterday, I think it was yesterday or Wednesday, whatever, Apple had their spring event. And on that spring event, they announced MLB is going to be going to Apple TV. And they're going to have MLB games on, I think, Thursday and Friday nights. So they'll still be available on like ESPN and MLB Network and all this stuff. It's just, you know, going to get more eyes on them, basically.
Yeah.
And obviously, Apple's going to have to pay them a ton of money to get the streaming rights. Nobody knows what that number is, but it's going to be big. So.
Oh, man, let's use this right here. Let's go to college football. I wanted to talk about NILs because we have a disagreement on that.
Mm-hmm.
And also with the idea of, well, we're going to get away from a four-team playoff and possibly expand it some more, and we disagree on that. So I wanted to talk about college. So I'm not pro NIL. I think it sends things and they just spiraling down out of control. The one thing I do like about it is the fact that we might get our video game back.
Yeah, I think they announced last year. What was it? EA Sports is going to bring back NCAA football.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's in 2023.
I think that's right.
I can look it up, but summer 2023. Yeah, it's eyeing for a summer of next year return. But that was announced last year, which obviously will be fun. Thank God.
I don't know how it's really over Madden.
Yeah, a lot of people did. I think like. My favorite one was like with Reggie Bush on the cover. Like
that was
like 04, I think, or 05. Yeah, and NIL, I think I might have explained it on our first episode together. Being from where I'm from, college football isn't really as big as it is down here. Like for us, it's just like, you know, the Patriots. And then, you know, for other people in New York, it's the Jets or whatever. So growing up, I always rooted for individual players, like Willis McGahee, Maurice Claret, Tim Tebow, just, you know, Reggie Bush. But, you know, rooted for those individual players, and got to see them, you know, play pro. Never really followed one team. You know, obviously I was a fan of like just the same thing, like the team that those people played on, like the Hurricanes or the Buckeyes or whatever. But I think the college kids should definitely, because it's only name, image, likeness. It's not like it's going to be a salary. So it's not like you're going to have Alabama like cutting checks to people directly. It's just, you know, a kid's going to sign with like, you know, Bojangles or a car dealership or whatever in the area, and they're going to get paid for it. I mean, yeah, they get to the old argument. It's like, well, they get to go to school for free. Well, yeah, that's true. But like, what if that kid gets a spinal injury or breaks both his legs or tears an ACL and that ruins his draft stock? You know, he's going to get something for it. Right. I mean,
that's right. That's a good way to put it. And that kind of thing like really helps change my mind. And when it first came out, we were talking just like with Porch Talk, because obviously we couldn't afford like what a corporation like Barstools or even like Bojangles or whatever the example is like.
Mm-hmm.
But we could pick. I work in Starbucks, like, so maybe we could get us a, you know, maybe not a football player. Maybe we could get us a mid-level basketball player or maybe a baseball player. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, we're going to give you like $500. You know, come be on the show and you're going to be like Porch Talk's pitcher or, you know, whatever the case.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, if it's football, maybe like pick someone off the offensive line and be like, this is our cat. Like, you know, we give him $1,000 a semester, you know, yeah. Something like that. And I think there is some good to that. And like that would help my brand. Like, cause I definitely want what like Portnoy wants.
Mm-hmm.
And like, while we're talking about Portnoy, is that I'm glad they're not called Business Insider. I'm glad they just call him. Selves insider with his pin stock and how they shorted it, and then they wrote that shit article on him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, dude, like Portnoy has like he's a game changer, man.
Yeah, he is, because Barstool basically just started as like, you know, for the common man, and it was like locker room talk, just how the guys would talk, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, since he's made it so big now, he has a lot of the same views that normal people just like me and you have, rather than, you know, big executives. Obviously, if they voice their opinion, it's going to be, you know, suited towards, you know, whatever's going to make them more money or whatever's politically correct or whatever side they're on. And he always says, he's like, I have no side. He says what he thinks. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of that.
Yeah, and so just, I guess, to get away from the NILs, because we have covered that in the past, is the playoffs. You like the idea of a bigger playoff in college football?
Yeah, I love it. Just because, like, just this last year you had, I guess every year since, but you always have these kids sit out these bowl games because they don't want to get hurt before the draft. And what does the bowl game really mean? Like, this is going to be different, sound different coming from me, because I never rooted for – I'll preface again or say it again. I never rooted for a team for these bowl games. When I watched them, it didn't really mean nothing. You know? But I guess if you're a fan of a certain team, then it's like, oh, we made the Sugar Bowl, or, oh, we made the – you know, not the Rose Bowl, but whatever bowl, the PlayStation whatever bowl.
The Barstool Sport Bowl.
Yeah, that unfortunately got canceled this year. That would have been fun to watch.
It's out there in Arizona, yeah. It would have been.
That was supposed to actually come to Mobile. He bid on that.
He was going to have Creed do the halftime show.
Yeah.
and I don't know if he was trolling or not.
No, he was being dead serious.
He was sincere.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess they put a bid on for the, you know, what's the game in Mobile? It's not other than the Senior Bowl. I guess there's another bowl game that's in
the GoDaddy.
Okay. So I guess they put a bid on to have, you know, to have the rights to that game. But mm-hmm. I guess it whoever was like owned it or owned the rights or whoever didn't agree with Barstool or didn't like Barstool. And they were like, no. And I was upset because I was like, dude, we're only 45 minutes away. That'd be fucking awesome. Because I knew they would put on a, you know, crazy performance and tailgates and events and all this stuff. But yeah, I remember seeing the tweets and the lead singer from Creed was like, yeah, man, I'm in.
I guess he's just a big Creed fan.
Well, just you remember that the halftime show, the Thanksgiving halftime show? Have you ever seen that video?
It's been some years ago, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah, it was a long time ago. But he's like, you know, can you take me higher? But like the dude's flying on the zip line with like the angel. It looks like angel.
Oh, wings. Yes, I do.
It's Thanksgiving. Every Thanksgiving that video gets posted. And obviously that's Creed. So that's why Dave, you know, Portnoy wanted him to perform on the halftime show. And it would have been glorious.
Okay, so that is chef's kiss on that.
Yeah.
I totally get it now. So, yeah, so that gives you 24 teams, possibly, if we open it up to 12. That is 24 of your best teams that possibly with the best players in the land that are going to have something worth playing for, as the way you like to look at it. And yeah. I agree with that because, you know, I can't tell you how many, like, Mississippi State, like, oftentimes they'll go play, I think it's the Liberty Bowl in Memphis. Most seasons, you know, they'll have a winning season and they'll go play up in Memphis. And then you'll have, like, their star players, like the running back or, like, a good wide receiver opt out and not play. And it's like, well, now I don't even want to watch the game.
Right.
And so I totally get that.
Yeah, and, like, a lot of people are another argument some people on the other side of the fence is like, oh, well, you're not going to have the best teams in the championship. Like, dude, no. Like I mentioned, like we mentioned before when we had that phone call, it was like, you know, you have Michigan versus Georgia. Michigan was a very good football team, and they just got shit pumped by Georgia. And it was such a different level of playing. Like, you're still going to have those games that are going to be very close, and people can get upset, but that just adds to the excitement. Like, the what if. You're going to have that. I can almost guarantee you're going to have that one Cinderella story of a team making it very far, like TCU or, you know, Florida Atlantic or whoever.
Cincinnati.
Exactly. Cincinnati, like, they could have their day and another team could get hurt or whatever. Like, just so many different variables where that Cinderella story could happen.
It almost, like, makes it to where, like, with that, I believe we're getting to this point anyway of, like, Texas, Oklahoma coming to the SEC. It's almost getting to a place now to where we almost need to just maybe think about getting away from conferences. Or maybe just having like three really big conferences or maybe four big ones or whatever that looks like.
Yeah, I think Kirk Herbstreit spoke about it, that these football like programs don't need the NCAA and that the NCAA, you know, they don't really have an effect on these or like, you know, the SEC, the ACC, Big Ten. You have these commissioners for these leagues and they could do everything themselves. And obviously a lot of teams, schools, they fund their different programs from their football program because they make so much goddamn money. And I think a few years ago there was charts put out from different schools and it was like funding and like, you know, green and then into the red, and football is literally the whole chart. And then you have like very small, like I think basketball maybe was a small sliver, and then everything else was in the red. So it cost them money. So football was really keeping all these other sports alive. But Kirk Herbstreit had a good point. He said that you can have all these leagues run themselves and get away from the NCAA, and it'll just be SEC, and it'll just be the ACC. It'll just be the Big Ten, and I think it was Pac-12. So you're gonna have these big four conferences, and they're just gonna get aligned, or you know, teams will get aligned geographically. And I mean, that's a good point because the NCAA is going to, they have these stupid, stupid, stupid fucking rules all the time. Like, it's just dumb shit happens. I think we're all in agreement on like the stupid, dumb things that the NCAA always pulls at least once a year. It's whatever, but he had
LSU's about to be sanctioned.
It's so stupid.
And like, I hate it. Like, okay, let's just say like it happened. It's in 2022. Let's say, well, we went back in 2019 and we found allegations that turned out to be true. Well, hot damn, you didn't catch them, so who gives a shit?
Right. And, like, then again, you're punishing these kids that are in school now and the people who were involved in 2019.
They're in the pros now.
They're all gone. And, like, If it was like one of the coaches or the staff members, like, okay, then punish them by suspending them half
the
year.
They're already gone too. Most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time.
Most of the time, they're the whistleblowers.
Right. So why punish, you know, these kids who had nothing to do with something that happened in the past?
That makes total sense, yeah. Yeah, I'm so over the sanctions. And then, like, just growing up in the South, it's like Alabama fans typically hate everybody. Mm-hmm. Hate LSU, hate Auburn, hate State, hate Ole Miss, on down the list. It's like, especially LSU, I guess, since, you know, Saban left to go to Miami, then he came to Alabama. And so there's bad blood there. And mm-hmm. so, like, I think it was my dad who was like, LSU's about to get sanctioned, and that just makes me happy. And I was like, why? That's just going to make them non-competitive for at least 3 to 5 years.
Yep.
And they're a great school. I was like, don't you want to beat them at their best?
Yeah. I mean, it's just going to drive kids away from going there, because if you're a top recruit or if you're a 5-star, 4-star athlete or
and if
football,
those
whatever,
if
you're not going to go
cringy,
there.
I'm blanking on his name that came from Notre Dame.
Brian Kelly.
Oh, my God. Those are the worst.
So bad. It is so bad.
Did you lose a bet?
I don't have words. It was just those videos of and it's funny because that one video that went viral of him, like, dancing, doing whatever.
There's two now, though.
Yeah.
I think there's might be three.
The kid that was in that first video didn't even commit to LSU. He's going to, like, I don't know, South Carolina or something like that. So
it
just makes it that much worse.
This dude's a nut. I don't know. Well, dude, anything else to do with this week before we walk it out the door?
No, I think we hit all the talking points.
All right. Oh, I got one. Anything. April 8th and 9th, I have Porch Fest at my house in Kennedy. All who listen or watch are welcome. It's a free event. All you got to do is show up. If you hop on the Instagram, the Twitter, or the Facebook of Porch Talk, you'll find the flyer and all the information you need. And if you happen to be in this area, you'll see a flyer on at your favorite bar. In Tuscaloosa, it'll be at Druid City Brewing. Here in Columbus, it'll be at Munson Brothers. You'll see it at the local gas stations. Just make plans. I know Sid, I don't know if you're going to be able to make it up, but I know Sid is planning on making it up. So there's literally people coming from all over the South. A couple of my friends from the Midwest, from Patriot territory up around northeast corner of the America out in Texas. So you can camp, you can stay, do whatever you need to do. Just come.
Yeah, it should be fun. I'm looking forward to that.
It's going to be a blast. And then the next big thing that I had to look forward, we're going to be doing it together, is going to be Steve-O down at the Singer.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, man, that's all I have. And let's just wait and see what this new week brings, and we'll scratch our heads about it later, right?
Amen to that. I think after we're done here, I'm gonna record the official comeback episode of the Cornerman and just kind of do like a more in-depth talk about UFC stuff that's happened very recently and stuff that's up and coming.
Right on. So good plug. And where can people find that? What all apps is that available on?
That'll be available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, the Anchor. I don't know if people use Anchor. Not really, but that's the platform we use to push it out to all these. But you can find it on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Music, anywhere there. Then you could follow my personal account on Twitter and Instagram. It's at Jared Kenny, just like the spelling and the title of this episode, both on Twitter and Instagram, and I'll plug everything there.
Right on, man. Well, let's get out of here and enjoy the weekend.
Awesome. Appreciate it, man. I'll talk to you guys soon.
See you, bub.
Later.